Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. And as you're going there, let's have a moment of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity you've laid in our laps. And indeed, Lord, I believe this is an opportunity. Father, this is a moment where you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, is going to speak to us through this word. And Father, this word is mighty, Lord God. It is powerful, Father God. This word is living, Father God. And today, Lord, our confession is this. It's going to impact us, Lord. And so I pray through the anointing and the power of your Spirit, Lord, you'll get a hold of every person in this room, Lord God, because Father, we are people of God, Lord. We need to be people who live according to your word. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray this prayer over the rest of this service today, Lord, that you, the God of this universe, would have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're at 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's just begin reading in verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and Lord Jesus, and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, listen to this, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, folks, this morning, this is one of the passages of Scripture that perhaps every one of you have heard parts and pieces of this Scripture before. Amen? That he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can think about. He has these great and precious promises that he has given to every one of us. Now, this morning, folks, I'm going to be talking a lot about how good our God is. Amen? And I'm going to be talking about how much he wants to do for us. But I have to tell you that there is this idea that floats around sometimes in the human mind. And I really believe that it is one of the greatest tools, it's one of the greatest instruments that the devil uses on the children of God. And this is it. That you really do not deserve God's blessing on your life. Or maybe you should say it like this, because I said it just really plain right there. But sometimes he comes to us and he says, hey, because you've kind of messed up, and I'm being very, very nice about that messing up part. Come on. Because you've messed up, God really doesn't want to bless you because you've messed up. Y'all with me? Sometimes he comes to us and he says, hey, listen, because you've acted a certain way, you've talked a certain way, maybe you haven't kept to that checklist that oftentimes we as Christians have. You know, you got to read your Bible so much a day, you got to pray so much a day, got to go to church every Sunday, so on and so forth. And if you haven't done that, see, what happens is the enemy comes to you and he says, hey, you are excluded from the blessings of God. I believe it's kind of like this. These exceedingly great and precious promises, they don't apply to you because you're a knucklehead. Has anybody ever heard anything like that besides myself? Well, let me just make sure we all are on the same page. I want to tell you why God blesses people. Just people. It's not because you're good. Let's get that out of the way right up front. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because you've kept some kind of checklist. Come on now. Don't give me those beady eyes. Think about this for a moment. It's not because you've kept some kind of a checklist. It's not because you come to church every time the doors are open. That's not why God wants to bless us. The reason he wants to bless us is pure and simple. It's because he wants to. Period. It's his will. He just looks at humanity and says, man, I've got a boatload of blessing here. I just would love to pour out upon people. If they would just start thinking, I would do it if they would ask me. Now this morning, moving on a little bit, see, that was kind of the opening, and it was just one of those kind of things I threw in there that wasn't even in my notes, but nevertheless, I needed to say it. See, this morning, if you have something but you don't know how to use it, what good is it really? What good is it really if you got something but you don't know how to use it? See, if you drove your car to church this morning, and I imagine most of you did, you came in some type of vehicle, on a motorcycle or something. If you came on a motorcycle, it's going to be raining when you leave. Okay, well, never mind. But let's say whatever mode of transportation that you brought this morning, let's just say whenever you exited the doors this afternoon, whenever you leave, you just decide, hey, listen, I'm not going to use that for my trip home. I'm going to walk. Now, I know none of you are going to do that, okay? I'm not going to be driving down 441 going home and pass somebody and go, what? Your car's at the church! Okay, so I know nobody's going to do that. And so basically, I'm going to say this. That wouldn't be very smart. Amen? In fact, let me just rephrase that. I think it'd be stupid. And some of y'all don't come up to me and say, hey, you got to be politically correct. Don't call us stupid. No, you're stupid if you do something like that. You got a car and you walk home in the middle of the rain. It's just kind of stupid. Come on. So let me just get into the scripture here. What good are these exceedingly great and precious promises if we don't use them? Come on. If we don't use these exceedingly great and precious promises, what good are they to us? And so, you know, this morning I just kind of put together just a little recap of what these very great and precious promises can do. First of all, they can fix us whenever we're broke. That's what the very great and precious promises do. They can fix us if we're broke. They can free us whenever we're captive. They can heal us whenever we're sick. They can lift us whenever we're down. They can fill us whenever we're empty. They can calm us whenever we're fearful. They can loose us whenever we're bound. They can give to us when we're needy. They can raise us whenever we're low. And they can right us whenever we're wrong. Folks, that's just the beginning of what this list of exceedingly great and precious promises can do to us. Woo! That's good stuff. Hold on a minute. That was a great list, Pastor. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I just thought maybe I had to cheer myself on. But the problem is there's so many of God's kids that just don't take full advantage of these exceedingly great and precious promises. They go for the most part unfilled in our lives. I mean, man, we're rocking along. We're a Christian for a month and then a year and then 10 years. And yeah, you look back and you go, man, what of these great and, I mean, very great and precious promises have I tapped into? Do I have going on in my life? And see, the amazing thing is so often we have a greater amount of these very exceeding great and precious promises that are left unfilled than the ones that are actually filled in our lives. I mean, it's like you go to the pharmacy and you get some kind of life-saving drug. And this medication, you bring it home and you put it up in your medicine cabinet. And then you refuse to take it. And you die. I mean, that's what it is. I've got these exceedingly great and precious promises right here in my hand. They are within my reach. And I got to start believing that there is a God in heaven that is in love with me. Period. End of story. End of discussion. I can be a knucklehead. I can have bad attitudes. I can do all kinds of stupid stuff. But in the midst of all of that, His love does not waver. Doesn't look down at me and go, oh, you're bad today. I'm turning my back on you. I don't know Him, Jesus. No, I don't. That's not the way God is. That's the way human parents act. Come on. Shame on you, human parents, if you do that. My God, whenever He sees me acting goofy, He gets more involved in my life. He starts moving towards me even at a greater pace because He loves me. Folks, I can't do anything that's going to take my life out of His hand. So, what's the holdup? I mean, I always ask that my kids whenever things aren't getting done around my house. If I ask them to do a chore, well, I got one now, but whenever we had a whole house full And I ask for certain chores to be done, and then a little bit later, I'm moseying down through the house, and I find a chore undone. One of the things I got a hold of, I said, "Hey, what's hold up here? I asked you to empty that garbage like 7 seconds ago, and it's not done." Yes, I'm a little bit of a dictator, but that's all right. I say, "Hey, what's hold up?" And that's what it is, honestly, whenever you look at the body of Christ and you see so many of the exceedingly great and precious promises that are going unfilled. They're sitting in the medicine cabinet and they're not doing any good to people who are sick and dying. And you say, what's the holdup? What's amiss? Where's the problem? Who's the problem? Don't you like to do that? Don't you like to find out who's the problem? But have you ever thought about this? Every once in a while, whenever we go looking for who the problem is, it always comes back to us. Who's the problem? Well, it's me. Heaven's sake, I blame my kids sometimes for things I did. Whenever Cody was little bitty, he was had one of these teething rings. You know, these things that you, I don't know, they're filled with this liquid stuff. And I don't know what got into me. I bit that thing and I bit a hole in it. And all the liquid leaked out of it. And so Renee got a hold of it. She said, what in the world happened to this? I said, problem is we didn't have any more kids. We didn't have a dog in the house. She said, did you bite this? And I go, me? Why would I bite that? I had to pay for that. She said, you bit this, didn't you? Cody was just a tiny baby and I was ruining his toys already. So what's the problem? What's the holdup? Who's the problem? Is the problem God? Maybe the problem's your pastor. Maybe the problem's the deacons. Maybe the problem's your family. I don't know. Maybe the problem's us. I don't know. Maybe the problem's you. You know what I've found a lot of times is myself is a huge problem. Myself is a huge problem. I've talked to myself so much, trying to straighten myself out, but sometimes I'm the problem. Folks, have you ever in your life been talked into something by somebody, and after you got talked into it and you actually did it, maybe you didn't even want to do it at first, but they kept talking to you, you know, and you finally did it. They're persistence, their persuasive speech, all of this stuff, maybe against your better judgment, but you did it because they talked you into it. I used to go fishing down in the Gulf of Mexico with a guy named Tom Dickey, and Tom Dickey was a great guy, kind of adopted me as his grandson, and he would take me out fishing. We always stayed fishing just where we could still see the land because, yeah, I'm just going to straight with you. I have a fear of water. I really do. I don't know how to swim, and so I have a fear of water, and even besides a fear of water, I have a fear of big things in the water. Because, yeah, there is things out there. I've seen them. I watch movies, and I've seen them. And so I got this fear of water. And so as long as we stayed right along the coast, you know, we were just fishing up close to the coast, you know, I mean, I'm okay with that. So one day he calls me. He says, hey, JD, he said, we want to make a deep sea go way out in the ocean. And I said, how far? Like 30 feet? He says, no, like 50 miles. And I go, 50 miles, for heaven's sake, that's almost to Cuba. I don't want to go that far. He said, no, man, we're going to go out. We're going to have a great time. He said, these fish we're going to be catching, he said, they fight like nobody's business. He said, man, you got to go. I said, well, Tommy, I don't think so. Because I'm thinking, man, there's no way I can swim 50 miles. You know what I'm saying? There's no way that in between me and that 50 miles of the shore, there's not some big old critter that can eat me. So I said, no. So next time we're at church, he said, hey, man, why don't you change your mind and go? He said, we'll schedule it on your day off, so it's no problem. You can go. I go, no, man. Tom Dickey, he just pestered and pestered and pestered me. I felt like every once in a while he was up in the front of the sanctuary, he was going, JD's a chicken. He doesn't want to go with us. So finally I did it. I went. I said, yeah, I'll go. So he made a trip out there and everything was fine as long as the boat was still moving. My Jesus, whenever that boat quit moving. And whenever we quit moving, we started catching fish immediately. The mahi-mahi, the dolphins, them things are fun to catch. He was right. But about the first one I got on my hook, guess what happened? While I was reeling it in, I was going, bleh! Oh, my goodness. You talk about getting seasick. I got seasick beyond seasick. I mean, I was throwing up. I was so weak, but I was still catching fish. So I was on my knees in the boat. And I'm still casting out there and reeling them in. I just pull them up to the side. And they'd get them. They'd go, man, you're really sick, aren't you? He said, you got to drink something. You got to eat some of this ice here. Just, you're going to get so dehydrated. And they're catching fish. And so they're not worried about my health. They're just worried about catching fish. Oh, my goodness. I threw up and 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 threw up. And then finally they said, listen, we're going to stop on one of these offshore platforms here and we're going to put you on it because it's anchored to the bottom and so it doesn't move and so you'll be okay. So they did. They put me off on it. And then they just left. They left me. I'm laying on there and I could hear the water underneath me going, shh, shh, and I started throwing up again. I wasn't moving. I was just hearing movement and I started to throw up. So I'm laying there on that platform. I say, oh, God, oh, please get me out of here. I'm going to die out of here. I'm going to throw up and presume my guts are just going to come right up. My socks and everything are just going to I'm telling you, I was sick. Hour or so later, here they finally came back. I'm saying, oh, God, thank you. But they weren't ready to go. They said, we found another place that's full of them. We got to go get some. So I said, I think I'm just going to lay here in the bottom of the boat. Okay. Oh, I threw up and threw up and threw up and threw up. And finally, he got me. He said, you really don't look so good. I think we're going to go home. I said, thank you. On the way home, I said, God, thank you for getting me out of here. I will never go deep sea fishing again as long as I live. Whew, that was bad. I was sick for 2 weeks. We had a waterbed. That was awesome. I laid down in my waterbed that night. I was still sick. And I mean, I said, Renee, I cannot sleep here. I got to go get on the couch. It's crazy. Somebody talked you in. He talked me into doing something. He was persistent and he was very persuasive. And it paid off for them. They finally got me out there. And I mean, you know, he called 4 or 5 times that day checking on me because he really thought I was going to the hospital. He said, he's really sick. You know, you can actually be your best ally whenever it comes to the things of God. You can be your best ally. But let me just make sure y'all understand this as well. You can also be your worst enemy. You know, the book of Job tells us a story about a guy's misery is basically what it's about. Job went through a bunch of misery. Amen? But you know, right at the very beginning of Job, there's a little scripture that is really telling about the mindset of Job. You know, we look at Job and you know, that's one of these books that, you know, it's hard to figure out, it's hard to understand why all these things happen. But nevertheless, there's this little sentence in the middle of chapter 3 of Job, and basically it says this. This is what Job says. He says, "For the thing I greatly fear has come upon me." Now listen to this. Job is making a confession about all of the calamity that has befallen him. He's saying, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. In other words, he's saying that he was awake at night. He was going through his day. And there was something going on in his mind that says, listen, all this bad stuff is going to happen to me. Come on. You ever been there? You ever got anything in your life where you said, hey, listen, I'm just going to get the bad stuff. Bad stuff is going to come my way. Job says, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And then the next line says, and what I dreaded has happened to me. You there? That's the way Job thought. And remember, I told you, you can either be your best ally or you can be your worst enemy in this. You see, Job thought and he talked himself into the bad. That's Job's mindset. He talked himself into the bad instead of positive thinking, which it produces positive talking. It doesn't take long around somebody before you figure out what's going on in their minds. See, I can almost read your mind. My wife can actually read my mind. I think most women can read their husband's minds, but I can almost read people's minds. I just talk to them for a little bit. I can tell you whether or not you're thinking positive things or thinking negative things just by what comes out your mouth. It's going to rain today, man. It's just terrible. It's rain. It's going to be all over the place. It's going to rain today, man. The trees are going to get their water. The flowers are going to get their water. And this place isn't going to look like New Mexico, for heaven's sake. Come on. I mean, we can be positive or negative about anything. I broke my leg. How terrible. But I got a good one on this side. Praise God He gave me two of them. Come on. We can either be our best ally or we can be our worst enemy. Positive thinking produces positive talking. But Job had just the opposite. And folks, we've got enough people around us who are speaking negatively all the time without us speaking negatively. Any of y'all listen to the news by any chance? Okay, enough said. Listen to Job and the folks around him. This is chapter 1, whenever things just blowing up for him. It says, "Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to come and tell you.' While he was still speaking, another came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to come and tell you.' While he was speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating, drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came and from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you.'" See, I read that to just tell you, somebody's got to be positive. Somebody's got to be positive. And not some kind of vain, empty type of positive, not a positive based on what the world system is all about, but a positive based on the exceedingly great and precious promises of God. Man, I want to tell you something. Whenever calamity comes to your house and it knocks on your door, and there it is, the washing machine is running over, there's soap bubbles everywhere, somebody's got to be positive. There you go. All we got to get is a mop. We'll scrub this baby clean. Are y'all with me? God's going to provide. God's going to take care of this. We have these exceedingly great and precious promises from Him. And I want to tell you something. He wants to bless you and that washing machine. Many of you know that I grew up being a mechanic. So man, whenever something broke, I just pulled out the tools. Mostly I just pulled out a hammer. I can fix anything with a hammer. Or I can make it where it can't be fixed with a hammer. One or the other. But we had an electric window in a car that we had, and I want to tell you, we'd been working exceedingly hard, and it was at the end of the day, and we drove up to our house, and I went to push the button for the window to roll up, and it didn't roll up. It stayed rolled down. And I knew if I left it down in New Mexico by the end of the day, I'd have about 14 pounds of dirt in the car, because the wind was blowing, dirt was blowing everywhere. So I went into the garage and I got my tools out and I came and I was so exhausted. I didn't want to tear into this dumb thing. But I thought, okay. I sat down in the seat of that car and something just came over me. Yeah, you know, have you ever had that happen? And it was kind of like one of these moments where I thought, hey, I've got these exceedingly great and precious promises. And I wonder if God knows what's wrong with my window. And I wonder if maybe He would take time out to fix that stupid window so I don't have to. And there was just this crazy thought that welled up in my heart and my mind, pray for the window. So I did. Renee's in the house. She's doing something. I'm just out there. My neighbors probably thought I was insane. I got my hands laid on the door of that car, and I'm saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm pooped. I don't want to fix this window. Father, you know what's wrong with it. You know why it's broke. And Lord, I ask you to put your hand on it and make this thing work. I reached over and I hit the key. And I hit the button. And the window went bzzz. Oh yeah! I want to tell you something. That car's in the wrecking yard today, and I promise you that that window's still going up and down. Because it was an anointed by God window. There's been times when I pray for all kinds of crazy things because why? We have these exceedingly great and precious promises that God says, listen, I don't want to bless you because you're good. I don't want to bless you because you're handsome, you're talented. I want to bless you because I am a good God that is in love with you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil heart, out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you got to begin to look at your own heart and say, listen, is my heart negative or is it positive? You have to listen to what comes out of your mouth, and you'll be able to tell what it is that's going on in the inside of you. Is there a lot of fear that comes out of you? Is there a lot of dread that comes out of you? Is there a lot of negativism that comes out of you? Is there doom? Is there darkness that comes out of you? Or is there hope? Is there faith? Is there light? Is there positive confession? Hey man, we're going to make it in Jesus. I'm going to make it in Jesus' name. Hey man, I don't care what happens. I've got a God that has given me a whole boatload of exceeding great and precious promises. And they're for me to use 24/7. Let me just say something about God in case you didn't know this. God is a positive thinker. Seriously. I mean, not only is he a positive thinker, he is a really positive thinker. Not only is he a positive thinker, but he's a positive talker as well. I have family members. That think negatively. I'll tell you, whenever I go there, I just want to wear earplugs. Because their positive, negative thinking, it makes negative talking. I've said, and I've just kind of monitored the conversation for an hour or two or three. And not one positive word flows out of their mouth. That's why I left New Mexico. Let me tell you something. You start getting around God, and I want to tell you something. There's no way that you can avoid being a positive thinker. You start getting around God, and there's no way you can avoid being a positive talker. You see, if He's in you, then positive stuff should be rolling out of your mouth. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, or do you not know what your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? That's what it says. If you're turning out to be your worst enemy, because remember a while ago, I said you could either be your best ally or your worst enemy. If you're turning out to be your worst enemy and trying to stay positive, one of the things you've got to begin to do is stay focused on what God says and not what's happening around you. Folks, I just got to confess something. Our government is in a mess. It is. But I believe that God is still in control. I believe He has His hand on this nation called the United States of America. And I believe past our problems, there is a remnant alive and well in this country that is raising themselves up through the anointing and the power of God. And we're going to change this place one heart at a time, not through legislation, but through the confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the hearts of those broken individuals that see things backwardly. I believe it. I believe we can change it. Yeah, we've got a lot of junk that's happening to our young people, but I believe God is literally going to raise up a Joshua generation out of these young people. Staying focused on what God says. God says. Not what ABC News says. Come on. Not what's happening around you. Forget what's happening around you. Man, you could have an atom bomb go off around you. Not literally. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? You just walk in, just blows up. And you go, but man, God is still in control. He has not moved one inch off of His throne that He sits on. And He is in charge of this universe. And He is my God. I am His child. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. These are exceedingly great and precious promises. Every one of them pertain to me. And I claim them this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Stay positive. Stay positive. Ask you a question at the beginning of this. Because I said this message is going to be simple, and it really is. The title is Talk Yourself Into It. I think we need to do a whole lot more talking to ourselves. I didn't say answering. I just said talking. You start answering, that's a whole nother sermon. So how do you get that place where you're thinking positive and you're talking positive? Instead of being your worst enemy and you're thinking negatively and you're talking negatively. I believe one of the first things you've got to do is begin to talk yourself into it. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself in the car. Talk to yourself at home. Talk to yourself in the shower. Talk to yourself while you're mowing the lawn. Talk to yourself while you're mowing my lawn. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Subliminal kind of thing. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And we need to hear the Word of God. You see, there's a story in the Bible, you know, about this centurion and he and Jesus on his way to his house, so on and so forth. And this woman with an issue of blood, this woman who had had this horrible disease in her body for a very long time. In Mark chapter 5, it says this, "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Now, the question here is this. Who did she say that to? Ding, ding, ding. She said it to herself. It's so wonderful whenever you're somebody that talks to yourself a lot and then you see that it's biblical. Come on. Whenever I was in first grade, they just gave me more testing because I did it. And now I've grown up and read the Bible. I'm thinking, man, here is a woman that literally was healed because she started talking to herself. She says, "Listen, man, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." She's talking to herself. And so we got to begin to ask a couple questions. How often do we talk to ourselves? Now, I talk to myself about things that have nothing to do with Jesus. Quite often. It's embarrassing sometimes, man. I'm just talking and talking, and Renee goes, "What?" I go, "Nothing." She said, "Well, who are you talking to?" "Caleb." "Caleb's at Corey's house." "Oh, I was talking loud. I thought maybe he'd hear me." It's embarrassing. Here's some of the things I've actually said to myself lately. Y'all ready? "Oh, you stupid. Why did you do that?" I said that to myself. This is like 3 days ago. Man, I'm getting one of those awful headaches again. In other words, there's no way I'll finish this today. Then a little bit later in the day, I said, I'm never going to get all this done. Then a little bit later in the day, I said, this is never going to work. Earlier in the day, that same day, I said this, it's going to take me all day to finish this. You know what? Years ago, that would actually be an exaggeration. But today, that's the actual fact of the matter. I found out that I've slowed down. Exceedingly slowed down. So now you've got a little picture of the talking that I've done to myself just recently. And the amazing thing about this, now hang on, is not one of these statements contained any of the Word of God. So I need a couple of you to come up and confess right along with me to help me make me feel better. I've been there where I've gone all day long and I've never confessed the Word of God. I have these exceedingly great and precious promises, yet throughout my whole day, I never involved the Word of God. We've got to begin to confess the Word of God. We've got to begin to confess the Word of God. We've got to begin to confess the Word of God. I sit down at my desk and I've got a pile of work. I don't need to say, there's no way I'm going to get this finished today. I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, I am going to rise to the occasion. I am going to be equipped and enabled by the Holy Spirit that is in me. And I'm going to finish this. Well, Pastor, that's just getting, you're getting out there. You're getting out there. Run through a troop, jump over a wall. Just Google that. Because that's what God can do with us. He can supernaturally come into our lives and He can help us do the laundry. No, God doesn't like to wash clothes. God can help us weed eat. No, God's too busy to help me weed eat. No, He's not. These are the exceedingly great and precious promises that He has given unto us. He said He would be our help. He said that He would be our strength. Hello! Whenever you're down there weed eating, you need some help and some strength. Come on! God says, listen, man, I can make that weed eater cut those weeds like butter. Butter. Come on! We got to begin to confess it. We got to walk down there before we ever crank that rope. We got to say, God, listen, man, I need your help. I don't need to be down here all day weed eating this stuff. So in Jesus' name, just give me a little buzz here. Come on. Let me just say something, folks. There's been times in my life where I have been at the end of my candle wick. Come on. Where it's just almost burnt down and I've had to call, got one more call that I got to go deal with and there's nothing left in the gas tank. Are you with me? And some of those things have turned into prolonged meetings where I've had to spend the whole night at a hospital ministering to a family and I'm already wiped out. And I on my car, I'm driving there and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, man, you got to get a hold of me because I'm not able to do this in my own strength. You got to empower me. You got to give me something that I don't have right now. I'm running on empty. Fill my tank, Father. He'll do it. Instead of saying, man, I'm never going to make it through the night. This is awful. This is terrible. I'm going to probably pass out. They're going to take me to the emergency room themselves. We got to learn to confess the Word. We got to learn to talk to ourselves. I need to talk myself into it. I need to talk myself into it. Hey, I got a financial problem, no problem. I have a God that is Jehovah Jireh. He's promised to take care of all of my needs and provide for me. Woo! Hallelujah! I've been talking myself into this $25,000 offering, man. I'm telling you. I've been going around. I've asked the board. I've actually been pretty full of faith. I'm saying, we're going to make this, aren't we? Yes, sir, we're going to make it. God is going to move somehow or another. We're going to make this in Jesus' name. We're going to have $25,000 worth of seed money to start this church. We're going to do it in Jesus' name. Well, I could be saying, well, you know, we're probably not going to do it. We're probably not going to do it. Man, I want to tell you, it sounds better the other way around. I think not only do we have to talk ourselves into it, but the second thing I think that's very, very, very important is I think sometimes the world has this way of diminishing God, making Him smaller than He really is. And sometimes I think we need to just get a giant-sized dose of God. You know what I'm saying? You know that same goofy waterbed that was seasick waterbed? We decided to get rid of it. And you know, what do you do with an old waterbed? Well, you take it out in the backyard and you put a hose in that dude and you fill it up and let your kids play on it. It was awesome. They were all out in the backyard playing with that thing and the hose was running. And I want to tell you something. That waterbed got exceedingly big. It got bigger than I ever thought it would get. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water went in. I mean, they had this trampoline in the backyard. They're jumping on it, man. Water. I'm going, good grief, Renee. This is going to be like an atomic explosion whenever that thing goes off. We started backing up. You know, we shoved the kids outside, shut the door. I said, no, you take the blast. That crazy waterbed got so big. It was absolutely unbelievable. It got bigger than I thought it would. I'm serious. And you know, I've got one of those minds. It's mechanical. I'm thinking that waterbed will get about this big and then it'll go poof. But I want to tell you, it fooled me. It got ginormous. You know how big ginormous is? That's a word in the dictionary. It'll play with words with friends too. Ginormous. I was amazed. Let me tell you, whenever God has come into my life and I've got a great big dose of Him, I've always walked away with that same kind of attitude just reverberating in my spirit. Man, He is bigger than I thought He was. Whew. He is better than I thought He was. Come on. We just need to get a giant dose of God. See, whenever we get a giant dose of God, you remember I read that scripture a little bit earlier? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Who is in you? See, whenever you get a giant dose of God, what is in there needs to come out. Who is in there needs to come out. God is a positive thinker. And He's a positive talker. And if He's in you, then positive stuff should be rolling out of your mouth. With no consideration at all, I make a challenge to you. Talk yourself into it. Speak the Word of God to yourself. Tune into God's channel. Come on. Tune into His channel. Because we have these exceedingly great and precious promises. We have His divine power that has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And He wants to bless us. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. I know most of you understand what's coming. I'm not going to let you leave here unless you talk to yourself a little bit. I think it's tremendously healthy to speak to our own selves. Words of life, words of healing, words of hope, words of faith and encouragement that come out of this book. where God has compiled all of these promises that He's given us, to find that promise in the Word of God that pertains to the miracle that we're grabbing a hold of. As many of you know, I'm believing for my wife's health. And I got to tell you, there's times where I have confessed negative things, but that's not the way God talks. There's times when I've thought some negative things, but that's not the way God thinks. And so what I got to do is I got to begin to get a hold of the Word of God. And whenever it pertains to the health of my wife, the well-being of my family, my son and daughter-in-law, grandchild, they flew across the United States. And I'm thinking to myself, man, them planes are dangerous. But I had to get a hold of the promises of God.